Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint. It is Tuesday, the 24th of May. You're listening to Viewpoint Talk Radio, its current affairs program with invited guests discussing the issues of the day. If you want to get involved with today's viewpoints, then these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And I'm joined in the studio today by Tim Stafford. On today's show, we'll be looking at a variety of subjects, including Partygate still rumbles on in the UK, with more photographs emerging of beleaguered Prime Minister Boris Johnson toasting aides at a Downing Street bash. We'll be looking at that. We'll be looking at monkeypox as well. Is it going to become endemic? Are you worried about monkeypox? The Afghan exit, the report into the chaotic withdrawal of British American troops from Kabul last year. A report has come out of Foreign Affairs Committee saying there were wide-scale failures. Did we leave good people behind? And anything else that is crossing your radar this morning, if you want to get involved?
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
But first of all, let's have a look at the front pages. The Times says the Prime Minister is facing new claims of misleading Parliament following the publication of photos of a number 10 leaving party. The Times also reports it's being told the Prime Minister suggested Sue Gray should drop her plans to publish her report during a secret meeting with the official last month. The PM waiting to find the reaction from Tory MPs after the first photos are leaked of him drinking at a lockdown busting party at 10 Downing Street. That's what the Eye says. Scotland Yard's verdict on photographs showing Boris Johnson at a leaving do during lockdown, that he was not partying, says the Daily Express. Pictures have emerged of the PM raising a toast at a gathering said to be farewell drinks for a departing senior aide, but it is understood police have concluded Mr. Johnson was there in a work capacity. The Daily Star pictures the Prime Minister raising a glass at a leaving party in Downing Street during lockdown restrictions, which has sparked fresh allegations that he lied to Parliament. Boris Johnson facing fresh claims of lying to MPs. With the same pictures, the Metropolitan Police later fined staffers for attending the event in November 2020, but did not punish Mr. Johnson. That reports The Guardian. The Daily Mirror has the headline, "How did he get away with this?" as it pictures Prime Minister Johnson raising a toast at a number 10 lockdown bash he denied had ever happened. The paper says it is one of a series of photos blowing a hole in his Partygate defence. Scotland Yard is under pressure to explain why the Prime Minister was not fined for attending the gathering in Downing Street. That's the Daily Telegraph. The Sun claims off-duty police officers were among the people taking part in a pitch invasion at Bournemouth's football ground following the side's win earlier this month. Yes, also we can look at that if you wish. Pitch invasions seem to be happening. Should we be doing something about that? Power blackouts, petrol shortages and empty shelves loom if rail unions vote to strike, says the Daily Mail, which reports at least 4 in 5 services could be cancelled if RMT chiefs win support for summer walkouts. Boris Johnson's premiership has been thrust deeper into peril with the publication of photos showing him drinking wine with Downing Street staff in the depths of England's second COVID lockdown in 2020. That is the Independent. The Metro Again, lockdown in 1 p.m. How did Boris not get fined for this booze up? That's according to the Metro, saying he insisted it never happened. The Financial Times. Chancellor Rishi Sunak has ordered officials to draw up plans for a possible windfall tax on more than £10 billion of excess profits for electricity generators, including wind farm operators, on top of a hit on North Sea oil and gas producers, the Financial Times report. Your newspapers in Spain, again, most of them have photographs of the Enemita's King Juan Carlos visiting his son King Felipe the VI, looking happy and relaxed. He's gone back to the Enemita's King returns to Abu Dhabi without giving explanations, is the headline in El País. Meanwhile, on the front page of Abathe, that same picture, saying that the king, Abathe says the king, demands or asks for prudence from Don Juan Carlos. The same thing is the same photographs are on the front of El Mundo as well, with the king at the palace. And finally, on the front of on the front of La Vanguardia, quite a shocking story of two young Pakistani women who had been resident in Catalonia, who have been killed in an honor killing. The Pakistani police have arrested six men, brothers and cousins of the women who are suspected. These two Pakistani women who were living in Catalonia had been divorced and apparently have been killed in an honor killing when they returned to or visiting family in Pakistan. Meanwhile, going back to those front covers, just one more time to see exactly what they're saying. From the top and top of my pile today is the Times. PM partying PM misled Commons. That's the Times. The Eye, lockdown party photos hit PM. The Express, nothing to see here. Yard says Boris broke no rules. I don't know if they're being tongue-in-cheek there, but we'll see. The Star, yep, it's definitely... No, the PM at number 10, a toast, fizz, gin, wine, and party food. It can only mean one thing. Yep, it's defo not a party. That's the Star. The Guardian, fresh danger for Johnson over number 10 drinks picks. The Mirror, how did he get away with this? Johnson pictured drinking champagne at office party during lockdown, but no fine. The Telegraph, pressure on Met over pictures of PM raising a toast in number 10. The Sun, exclusive CCTV shock. Some PCs are on the pitch. Off-duty police join fan invasion and only here for the cheers. New Boris Partygate picks. The Mail, rail strike could cause blackouts. And a picture of the Queen in her golf buggy being driven around the flower show. Now that's a Chelsea tractor, says the Daily Mail. The Independent leads on PM picture drinking at lockdown party number 10, but Johnson avoids fine for event with wine bottles and food. The Metro, lockdown in 1 p.m. handed Boris not get fined for this booze up. And the Financial Times has a picture of Zelensky plea for rebuilding as he addresses the Davos summit by video conference, and big power generators in Sunak sites for widened windfall tax. And those are your front pages and your headlines this Tuesday, the 24th of May.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively if you want to get involved with today's show.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And Richard is quick off the blocks, as always, on The Viewpoint. Good morning, he says. The odds of a 2020 Johnson exit have now moved up from 15.6% 14 days ago to a 31% chance now. It's not a claim, it's a fact. He has lied repeatedly. The Met is another toxic organisation that needs to be torched. Don't hold back there, Richard. Let us know. Now, I know a lot of you are saying, oh, they're going on about British... I had an email in the other day saying, oh, well, you only go on about British politics. Well, this should be called the British Politics Show. Well, not particularly, and we can speak about Spanish politics as well. If you want to get your viewpoint across, please, I'd love to hear from you. But this Partygate situation is rumbling on and on. And I don't know if it was just one situation, then I can see us going, okay, we would be, you know, flogging the dead proverbial equine. However, we seem to be getting fresh claims and fresh pictures out on a regular basis. And this was during a time when we were in lockdown, and NHS nurses who, for example, I saw a tweet this morning from an NHS nurse who was fined £10,000 for organising a demonstration during that time. So it once again seems to be one rule for them, one rule for us. Prove me wrong. Call me 952 78 4000. My wingman today is Tim Stafford. Morning to you, Tim.
Ah, Giles, good morning.
Good to have you with us. You might want to move the microphone a little bit closer.
A little bit closer.
Even your chair, depending on where you... There you go, you see.
Yeah,
there we can hear you. We can hear you in all your glory.
Okay.
Looking very summery today, Tim.
Thank you, yes.
So we have a variety of subjects to look at today. We can start with Partygate. We can move on to monkeypox if you so desire. We've also got the situation in Kabul as well. We've got the Priti Patel has come under fire for a couple of bits and pieces today, including there's a new she's trying to put in some new regulations through Parliament against environmental protesters, the Extinction Rebellion, etc., gluing themselves to the roads, locking themselves to the Spurs goalpost during football matches, giving police powers to stop and search people who they think might be on the way to a protest. You could be jailed for carrying a padlock with you and that sort of thing. And also the whole deport them to Rwanda situation seems to be developing nicely. But let's start, shall we, with Partygate. And these new pictures coming out last night on ITV. Boris Johnson has been accused of lying to MPs after photos emerged from him toasting a senior aide at a Downing Street Leaving Drinks event during a COVID lockdown. ITV News, which published the images, says they cast fresh doubt on the PM's claims that he was unaware of rule breaking at number 10. The photographs have also raised questions about why the Metropolitan Police did not fine Johnson for attending the party, whilst other present did receive a fixed penalty notice. We're awaiting the result. The Sue Gray report is supposed to come out as well, I think within, if not today, then definitely within the next sort of 72 hours. Your take on that, if any at all, Tim?
Yes, well... the criteria or the rules or regulations that applied at the time when Boris was attending this event, I'm not clear on because I haven't looked it up. But if, for example, the organisers of such an event were fined, which is what usually happened among people in the general population, with the sort of participants, if you like, not suffering the same penalty, then it could be argued that Boris was attending, perhaps on a whim, who knows, and was less likely to be prosecuted. However, if he's been misleading about his actual presence, I think that's a very serious matter, because he clearly was there, as evidenced by the photograph.
And again, it seems to be this, if nothing else, then perhaps a lack of judgment, a lack of common sense. I mean, this was the, you know, this was 2020. We were in the midst of lockdown.
Yes, I mean, these are people who are political operators and, for that matter, civil servants, whose modus operandi is to be in position with other people to obtain some influence. And they seem to not successfully manage to extricate themselves from this habitual behaviour. After all, there were people who were burying their father in absentia. Very serious restrictions applied. It doesn't look good, and if it's been, it can be proved that he's been misleading, I think it's a very serious question to ask.
We have some various, again, various viewpoints on this. This one disagreeing, this is from Graham. Do people really expect the whole of government to close down in an emergency? Is it really a criminal offence at the end of a week working to keep the country running to have a drink with someone who is retiring on that day? I wonder how often that took place during World War II, Falklands crisis, Cuba crisis, Iraq war, Kuwait invasion. For heaven's sake, shall we say, let's have some common sense. This also coming in saying, Stephen Ritson has been talking about this for 2 years. You have nothing else to talk about. What is going on? Nobody gives a schweps you know what. Well, that's forthright indeed. Meanwhile, judgment, common sense. Are we talking about the same Boris Johnson? Says Richard indeed. And it's not when you set the rules. Interesting as well that they seem to be setting up, planning to make Britain's leading civil servant the fall guy for this. We're going live to the lines, 952-78-4000. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
I'm Kate Costabanca.
Good morning, Kate.
Morning. Answering the person who's email or whatever you were reading out, and where he lists a number of occasions where, you know, great crises in recent
Falklands,
British history.
The Falklands, Iraq, etc.
Yeah, but then they weren't, there wasn't a contagious disease around. All his examples are big, not nice times. But you're talking, the whole point about lockdown was not meant to be punitive. It was to do with a contagious disease.
Rather than obviously fighting, being involved in a conflict.
Absolutely, and therefore, given that out of Johnson's own words, mouth, came the instructions on what people should do, he should really have realised that they applied to him as well.
Indeed. Tim, did you want to come in and report that?
Yes,
okay.
Thank you, Kate. I completely agree with Kate on that, and it's an entirely different matter. But that lately, and certainly in the last 10 years, we've had constant ongoing recrimination and petty attempts to impugn those who have won elections, and across the world, really, and that for example, Pedro Sanchez appeared on the television with wonderful haircuts while I was having my hair cut in the garden.
Indeed. Just going to go live to the lines again while we think about your hairdressing style. Morning, call, you're live on TRE. Thank you for waiting. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, buenos dias. It's Marlene in Calgary.
Good morning, Marlene.
Yeah. About Johnson, for me, people, you know, the poor people keep saying, why does he keep bringing it up all the time about this, you know, these meetings and the drink and everything? Don't they understand that they have to keep bringing them up because he's a liar? He keeps on lying. If he just simply said in the beginning, what it is, yes, I'm terribly sorry, it's a fact, and I did wrong, and that will be the end of the matter. But no, he still keeps on lying. So you've got to keep on doing it. So if the populace get upset about hearing it all the time, they should blame it on him. So I don't understand the English, why they, some of them, try to make excuses
for
it.
So you don't think we should be, quote-unquote, drawing a line under it and moving on because there's a war on?
Yes, we know that, but yeah, I mean, but if he'd have said, I'm sorry, I've got other things to deal with. Yes?
Yep, okay.
I've done it, I'm sorry. But he's showing him to be the liar of the liars, and so people have to keep on doing it. It's him. He should stop. He could have stopped it and said, I have other things to do. I'm sorry, that's it. But no. So all I'm sorry about is that the English, for some reason, those who make excuses for him, I feel as if they've lost their brain and lost their balls. I mean, what the hell are they doing? Why don't they get him? Oh, he's a traitor. You know that, don't you?
Well, it's a bit...
He's a traitor to England and to us. He is a traitor. All he thinks about is himself.
Thank you, Marlene, for those comments. Not beating around the bush there. Good to have you with us, Marlene. As always.
Okay. Have a lovely day.
You too in the People's Republic of Calpe. Good to have you with us. 952-78-4000. Thank you for holding, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Would that be me, Giles?
It would indeed be you, sir. How are you, John?
I'm fine, mate. Except for you're getting on the diversion again. We know that Boris is a liar. We know they're all hypocrites. What is more concerning is that he has just actually signed up to World Health Organization to surrender effectively the sovereignty of the UK. And 25 other major countries have already, to the World Health Organization.
Now, before we get going on this, John, just explain to Pete, because I know that you are on the ball with this, so just explain, because I have seen this flitting across my social media, and obviously, as you know, I have the attention span of boiled prawn. So just explain what this is, because I've seen lots of people saying, this WHO thing, 23 governments, this is a step towards the globalization, which is obviously something that you are very concerned about.
Yeah, and it is a step towards the globalization. Now, as it happens, I saw today, and I haven't verified it yet, that Brazil have said no, which would be a major accomplishment, because that's a major part. I think we can probably assume that Russia isn't going to actually say yes to surrendering their sovereignty to the World Health Organization. But unless everybody's looked it up, that's exactly what they're talking. This is the pincer movement of the Great Reset, and the World Health Organization. And we have a bunch of globalist put in place politicians who are all hypocrites, who are all liars, who will do anything that they are told to do because they want to bring about a one world government. And if people want a one world government, good luck to them. But personally, I don't want the situation where the World Health Organization can decide that there is a pandemic or a plandemic or whatever they want to call it, and shut your country down.
John, it's
shutting the country down that actually destroyed the country and destroyed Western Europe. It was the lockdowns that did it. And as for this, it's a contagious disease. It was a contagious disease, which the evidence is fully out in now, killed less than 1% of the people that got it.
Right.
A lot of them were 80 and something, and that was a higher percentage, but overall, the death rate on that virus was less than 1%.
Right.
And here we are. It's been a diversion. It's to keep your mind off of the fact that they're trying to take away your individual personal sovereign freedoms.
Right. Just a quick thing. I mean, when I see Macron and, you know, and Johnson and Biden bumbling around the place and, you know, getting it completely wrong, it seems to be, then, I mean, the whole thing about we are going to go to a globalist government, I mean, I tend to think that this lot couldn't organise the, you know, couldn't globalise their way out of a plastic bag, even if it was carrying tinnies to a party.
Well, they managed to sit by and let the globalist lock down the whole of the world for a two-year period, destroy the economies. They've managed to actually invoke a regime change war between Ukraine and Russia. And Ukraine would not be even standing now if they hadn't spent all the weapons in there. And the Russians are actually winning.
Right.
And the Russian ruble has actually almost tripled in value since they brought the sanctions out against Russia. Russia's not losing this war. Russia is against globalism.
Yeah,
the globalists are therefore against Russia.
Right.
I don't know the outcome of that, but it will be an outcome.
Okay. John, I will beg to differ with you on that point about Russia winning the war and Russia against the globalists, because you could say that Putin...
Yeah, but you don't actually see the same stuff as I do.
Obviously.
And you know, I'm looking at a much wider range of stuff than you are.
Right. Okay.
And you know, if the Russians were losing this, I'd be quite happy to say so.
Okay.
Because I don't, you know, it actually pains me to think that a state, Russia, or an entity, Russia, that I've always traditionally been told to me is my enemy, is actually the only thing stopping the globalist taking over this world and taking away my sovereignty.
Right. Okay, John, good to hear from you as always. You have thrown the proverbial amongst the pigeons, but always good to hear from you, John. Take care, and we'll speak soon indeed. 952-78-4000. Oh, blimey, the phones have gone off again. There's a surprise. Morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Charles. It's great. Morning. Nice to see you out. Nice to see you out the ditch with your car.
Yes, exactly, yes. No, it wasn't a ditch this time, it was a fallen tree across the path. But thank you very much, the universe keeps me on my toes, Grey.
Yeah, you're a busy boy. Can you just tell John that I've just ordered about 40 rolls of tinfoil on Amazon Prime, and they're on the way round to his house as we speak?
Is he having a bacon wrap party, that you know?
But John, no, he's having a tin hat party, that's what he's having. A tin hat convention.
Well, John's of the opinion that you know, Russia is fighting the globalists and Russia is winning the war and you know, we're not... No, you know, listen, it's viewpoints. You can get your viewpoint.
Absolutely. We're a global cabal and he sees different news to everybody else for some bizarre reason. I'd like to see his news, but yeah, anyway. I kind of rang up about Partygate. I think
Go on.
The most sinister thing that's going off with Partygate at the moment for me... in the Times today, it's being reported that Johnson, and I refuse to call him Boris, actually tried to get Sue Gray to bury the report, which is quite interesting. I think that's probably the most sinister thing that he's actually done amongst all of it.
To actually say, okay, well, you know, I mean, what do you think it's trying to cut a deal? Do you think the report is going to be that damaging then? Do you think he thinks the gain is up?
I think that everybody thought it was over and done with, and all of a sudden people have realised, you know what, maybe it's not over and done with, because I think images tell a story that newspapers can't without an image. And those images that I think we all know who's talking, it's a certain civil servant that thought he ran the country that's just been waiting for this opportunity. And he's probably got a few more in Davy Jones's locker. I think that they're quite damning, you know, in showing him enjoying himself for however long he was there at this function, this party for Lee Kane, the communication director. I think most people look at that and go, do you know what? And I'm one of them. I couldn't go to a relative's funeral. I had to watch it on Zoom. You know, and that is quite, you know, it's cutting. That is cutting. For people out there especially who weren't even allowed to be with the children in the final death throes, I think his contempt for people is beyond words, really.
I mean, is it just this, not only contempt, but also the out of touch? I mean, he said earlier this whole thing, we've had this whole thing about, you know, we'll come on to cost of living crisis as well, which we can do later, but this whole thing about, you know, work is the solution to the crisis, as if there are, you know, thousands of well-paid jobs that people just aren't taking up. And do you think that this particular government is getting more and more out of touch, and there seem to be more and more sort of mini crisis happening? We've got the non-dom with Rishi Sunak. We've got the Rwanda with Priti Patel. We've got, you know, Boris Johnson with these Partygate pictures coming out. You know, we've got Met police investigations. We've got the Sue Gray report coming out. I mean, could you think the Sue Gray could literally be, you know, the straw that breaks this government's back?
Yeah, the thing is, I'm not even sure that they're out of touch, to be honest with you. I think what they are is they don't care. They just think they're above it. I think they know exactly what's happening, but I just think that they genuinely believe that these rules and these regulations actually don't apply to them. And they don't even care that they apply to them. You know, it gets away with so much. The thing is, at the moment, Giles, we've got a massive group of people who back Johnson. And the reason is because to be seen not to back him would be to admit that Brexit is the proverbial show that it is. And the scarves are tied that closely around the neck. You know, it's the footballification of politics dictates that if they condemn him for one action, they think that they need to be seen to condemn him for another action. And they're so intrinsically tied together, Brexit and Johnson, that it would be them having to admit that what we all know, you know, the emperor's new clothes and the elephant in the room and all these superlatives, Brexit, there is not one tangible benefit of Brexit other than a blue passport from Poland. And when you've got humanitarian aid being given to lorry drivers in the queue to get over to Calais, there's something massively wrong with our country. And you can blame Europe, and you can blame, like he's doing in Northern Ireland with that situation. The bottom line is, he signed that deal knowing full well what it entailed. And if he didn't, then he shouldn't have been signing the deal, and he should not have been in the position that he was in.
Correct.
And they're all so closely tied that people just can't admit that he's the worst prime minister in our history.
Great. Footballisation of politics. I like that a lot. Visions of them chanting from the back benches. Great. I've got some more calls coming in, but always good to hear from you, my friend. Take care.
Cheers, Charles.
Speak to you soon. 952-784-4000. Phones are busy this morning. Morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Charles. It's Cookie. How are you?
Morning, Cookie. You're on the road, hopefully with a hands-free set, I should imagine.
Absolutely. Safety always first.
Right then. Come on then. What, safety first.
Just saying, people should be prepared to roll up their sleeves soon. The smallpox vaccine is coming to a medical centre near you. My question is, for all those that have already had the smallpox vaccine, are they going to need to take it again because of this monkeypox?
Again, not sure on that one. We will come to you. We'll come to that one, I think, a little bit later on, Cookie. But yes, it looks like we may be in for another round of vaccines, but it might just be a little bit of overreaction from various media, seeing some of the reports coming in at the moment. But it just seems to be the sort of flavour of the day. If it's not monkeypox, it's avian something. Smallpox is not monkeypox, and
exactly.
Vice versa.
It just seems to be one thing after the other, one thing after the other. COVID, lockdowns, global climate change, food shortages, petrol shortages, the war in Ukraine, now this monkeypox thing. It's just, I mean, how much can a human being take? It's just, it's almost like Chinese water torture, drip, 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 drip. It's just, it is crazy. The way the world is going at the moment is crazy.
Cookie, thanks very much for the call in there. Tim!
Yes, will you marry me, Cookie? It's wonderful your opinion on that. And funny enough, the people who have had the smallpox vaccine, older people usually, or people that are certainly beyond middle age, are less likely, because there is a degree of protection from the smallpox vaccine, from the monkeypox, to contract it than those who were not vaccinated because it was given that smallpox had been eliminated. And, it wouldn't be a surprise if smallpox vaccines became available in some places. But, yes, it's a minuscule condition, a minuscule risk to the ordinary population, monkeypox, and I think there are 100 cases in, possibly a bit more than that, in Europe. And bushmeat, where does it come from? It's a transference from the animal kingdom yet again. But then again, if you're starving in some part of Africa, you might decide that you will eat anything that moves. And, I mean, for example, if I was starving here, I might eat Giles. I mean, I might take a chunk out of Giles.
It's the way that you say monkeypox. It's quite disturbing, actually.
Okay.
I'm going to take a quick break while we discuss exactly what side order you have with me, and then we'll be back with more Viewpoint.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively, especially this morning if you want to get involved with today's show.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And we go live to the... We'll go to the emails first, studio@tre.radio. This is from Ray. Good morning to you, Ray. He has already been fined, so should have already resigned. It's as if he had any self-respect. The UK PM now has a criminal record. The latest pictures just made his position worse, and Gray's report will probably just make it worse still. Although, I can't really see him resigning, but hopefully he'll be booted out by his own party in the coming days stroke weeks. And then he also has the EU, USA and Ireland arguing with him and threatening the UK with draconian measures. Bozo needs to go as soon as possible. Live to the lines. Morning, call. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. It's Alf.
Morning, Alf.
I'm coming in early because too many people pilloried John Harper, and now I've realised why. You don't come on the radio and talk down to everybody else. John says, you know, I have a wider reading. He was talking to you specifically.
Yeah, he's talking to me. That wasn't about everybody else. He just thinks, you know, John.
But
exactly.
He says it about everybody else as well. Well, as you know, I've known him for many years, and it's called... He has a different type of reading.
There we go.
And he has a different view of life, and he's entitled to his opinion. But a bit like Gray, it's called... I don't know where he gets half of his stories, but he's entitled to it. Nevertheless, you know, Gray was saying about, and we have to understand that quite a lot of this is still media hype. So the media have got to have a twist on the story. So the twist is Johnson tried to get the report buried. There's no evidence of that. There's no even. You know, cockroaches talking in the number 10 ain't going to release that sort of information. So that, I think, is a media hype. If anybody does understand what's going on, Johnson has no control over the report. He might have a say in when and where and all the rest of it, and the outcome of it he may have a view about. But Parliament said there would be an investigation. And on top of that, they've got the secondary parliamentary committee looking at it as well. So Johnson has no control over that. The only control he has, he could probably have this secret meeting with the reporters and say, this is what, you know, you will report and you won't report. I doubt very much if he did. I think it was more about timing. Where's it going? I want to know before it's released, so that I'm ready to answer questions in Parliament. And you also said, Giles, which is you know, one of the real crux questions, is this government getting out of control, more out of control, more out of touch with people? And the answer is, if that were true, why did they do not so badly in the local elections? They should have been destroyed. And I mean that. You know my view about the local elections. I know it was overhyped by the media about how many seats Labour would take and all that, and it was played down. But in reality, people still went and voted in massive numbers Tory. And that's always the complication. And as I say every single week, you can moan as much as you like about Boris Johnson, but the only people that are going to say whether he stays or goes is the Tory party. And they ain't ready to commit Harry Carey before the next general election. It's not going to happen. They are too... You know, it may happen... would it be happening in 6 months' time when they've only got a year to go for campaigning? I don't think so. I think they're in it for the term. They've defended him this far amongst all this rubbish that's gone on. And you know... Who cares whether he was at this do for 20 minutes? This is a guy who constantly says things that is not true. And the answer to the question in Parliament, by the way, the Labour MP who asked the question said, are you going to tell us? And that's what he answered no to. You can take it whatever way you like. He's either said, no, I'm not going to tell you on Parliament, or he was saying, no, there wasn't a party. He then went on to say none of the rules were broken. Well, all the rules were broken because there were people on top of each other. There was no social distancing. There was something going on. A retirement do? What's the difference for them between a retirement do and a funeral or a wedding or some other company do? You know, the Unison woman, for example, you know, she put on, she was organising a union rally. And that's why she got done for 10 grand. And she broke the rules. So that's the real comparison. She did what she was doing for work purposes. It may not have been direct work, but she was setting up a campaign against the way that the government was treating the nurses and medical people. And that's all she did. What's different between that and someone in number 10 saying, oh, we're having a retirement do, we'll have a quick drink. You know, it's not really a party. It is. It's called a retirement party. We used to have them all the time where I worked, but, you
this,
know,
this just,
it's
just,
not
this
a party.
This just in for Marina. Pick your resignation region or reason. One, he attended a party. Two, he witnessed a party and therefore lied to Parliament. Three, he's too thick to know what a party is. If one of those doesn't work for you, just go ahead and pick another.
Yes, and I agree with all of that. But I'll keep coming back to the same question. Well, second point, he's not going to resign. You know, that goes without saying. He's
gonna say,
not
you're
gonna going
say you're
to resign.
You're saying about the thing about politics, and what is the primary thing of politics, Alf?
Well, yeah, the main thing about politics is the art of reaching proper decisions, just put it that way, which means you have to talk to other people, but you can't rule
basically.
By dictate.
No, the main thing seems to be just staying in power, and once you're in power,
absolutely.
Do not relinquish it, cling onto it like a limpet.
Yeah, but the difference is he's not in power. The Tories are in power. He can do nothing without the Tory vote. So it's the Tories who are in power, and they see him as the flag that's going to lead them in, you know, to keeping in power. And that's the complication. So with the best will in the world, you can moan about Johnson as much as you like. What you have to do is get all the other Tory MPs, and they have to be threatened where they have their seats, and they have to be threatened with, if you don't vote to get rid of Johnson, then we ain't voting for you. And that's about people voting Tory, not about people voting for... Very few people at a general election vote for an individual beyond the leader of a party. So local MP, you know, yes. I used to have to work for these people, and quite often, my phrase to them was, give me an orange, give me a Labour sticker, and I'll get it elected. Well, so long in the right place.
Yes, Alf, I think if you look at the leaders we've had, prime ministers we've had in the last 20 years, all of them, Blair, Cameron, so on, have been seen later as not very convincing or productive prime ministers. The reason I feel that Boris Johnson or the Conservative Party didn't suffer an insulting lack of support in the local elections, but it's because it's still perceived by the general electorate that Boris Johnson continues to have the national interest and prosperity at heart, and that the alternatives, as is about to be revealed by a series of rail strikes, I imagine, which is probably timed to coincide with a crisis in the government, the argument will arise. It's unions and leftism versus an idea of national prosperity. And what is going to have to happen, I feel, among people who are working in the UK, is that they'll have to go into the frugal mode yet again, where they do not demand wage rises or anything of the kind, given the current global economic crisis. The alternative. What is the alternative to Boris Johnson and this rather feeble Partygate ongoing minutiae of government? If you seem to have lied, then that's one thing. If you haven't broken the law, that's quite another.
Okay, you asked two things specifically there. Who is the alternative? In my personal view, anybody and any party is better than Johnson. End of story. So
right.
It's no use saying. Otherwise, we end up with who's the best leader in the Tory party? Who's got the most charisma? Do you want a Labour government? Do you want a Liberal government? Do you want the SNP to be in charge of what's going on? Is it some sort of coalition? And that's all irrelevant, because as I keep saying, all the time Johnson's there, he's not going to resign and the Tories ain't going to get rid of him. So these are all hypothetical conversations about what is the alternative. The alternative is make the Tories get rid of Johnson. That's what everybody should be saying. It should be sidetracked by all the other rubbish, you know, about, you know, Sue Gray's report or anything, irrespective. Tories, get rid of Boris Johnson and you might stand a chance next time. And that's coming from a Labour person. If they don't get rid of Johnson, I can see another 2 years of this constantly tripping up on themselves, and people, it will drain on them. It's what happened at the end with Major, and you said about, you know, past prime ministers, and they'll come short. And it's called, it's not true. And I don't want to go through the Monty Python show. You know, what did Labour ever do for the country? Because there's 150 different things, especially things like the labour rates, especially things like the health service, especially things like education and the changes they made in all of that. But, you know, this is tick the box, tick the box, tick. And that's not the comment. The comment then went, how did they go wrong? How did Labour go wrong? Well, we put Gordon Brown in. I know Gordon Brown personally. And the problem was that there wasn't an election to elect him as the Prime Minister. And people took umbrage to that. That was Joe Public. And they were picking away and picking away. And especially as Brown was put as the world leader on economics, not just, you know, he was an advisor and a consultant to the World Bank. So, you know, the guy's not an idiot when
just
it comes to economics.
I've got some more calls coming. Alf, if you just let me get onto those and we can call back a bit later. Okay, thanks very much for your calls in. Oh, thanks, Alf, as always. Great value. Morning, calling live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling on from? Thank you for holding, by the way.
I know. But I want to put this across very quickly. Can't we have John Harper in the studio sometime? So we can put questions to him?
Well,
really, yes?
Well, I mean, yes.
Because he has very strong views.
Yes.
So that's... And it would be rather interesting to really go
interesting
into what he's saying.
Yes, interesting is it? What we'll do. We will see if we can attempt.
Yeah, that's in case he wants to, of course.
Yes, indeed. Thanks very much for that call in, Marlene. Good to have you with us, as always. 952-784-1000, the phone number. No, we can't have John Harper in the studio, is a reply from somebody out there in the internet. Let's have a look at other stuff from bits and pieces. Going through to... No, that's Strong Views. Is not a free pass. Let me just... I've got some emails coming in, which obviously have been held over from this morning, because somebody said it's also World Turtle Day, which I don't think has got anything to do with Boris Johnson, but there you go. Right then. As a Tory voting Brexiteer, it is clear that Boris is a blatant liar. Bigger problem is there's no credible opposition to replace them. Thank you for that. This one in. Today's Twitter poll. Would you support a windfall tax on gas and oil firms used to reduce energy bills? Supporters say they're the ones profiting from huge price rises. Opponents discourage investment in green projects. 70% would support a windfall tax. Okay, thank you very much. The World Total Day was yesterday, so there we go. Bringing you the news that matters. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. Sharon Alicante.
Morning, Sharon.
Hello. Well said, Graeme. Well said, Marlena. John in the studio. John, he suggested we had in the studio.
Yes, yes.
Right. Yeah, everybody's entitled to their own viewpoint. I don't want to get, but I'm going to have to say this. When John is on the airwaves, he consistently tells everybody how much more he knows than anybody else.
Yeah.
And that, for me, that detracts from his argument. That blows his argument out of the water, because I immediately think, oh, anybody who says that just hasn't got an argument or hasn't done their research any better than anybody else.
Right.
To say you've been around the world and done everything, to me, is just not realistic. So that detracts from your argument, John. You just make me disbelieve you as soon as you say something like that. And I'm a second argument is going to replacing Johnson. There isn't anybody in this cabinet or in the back some of that benches, because the other day we had Nadine Dorries. They're all lying on his behalf. She was talking about a poll that was taken about the number of people who want Radio 5 privatised. And the interviewer said, "And what sort of percentage of people do you think want Radio 5 privatised?" And she said, "About 96%. And he said, she said, are you sure? And he said, she said, do you realise that it's 96% of people who want, who don't want it privatised? That's
right.
One hell of a difference.
The bongos
They're
are
lying for him.
Sharon, the bongos
and,
are...
And we haven't got... If you look at the... they work for you.
I'm afraid I have to cut you off because we're going to the news, Sharon. But forgive me, but the news is up next.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
And we're back. Yes, indeed. Always live, always lively. Viewpoint Talk Radio Europe's current affairs programme with invited guests. We're discussing the issues of the day. I'm joined in the studio today by Tim Stafford. If you want to get involved with today's show, then here's the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And just a quick point of order. How to put this nicely? Let's when we say we disagree with somebody because of what they are saying, let's not keep it. I know we're all well behaved here, and we keep it on a civil basis. But let's not have. No. They weren't personal attacks per se. But I'm just a bit worried that we might go down there. He said, she said, sort of route. So let's try and have a reason to debate. Right, so I try to put it that out there, and I go live to the lines. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yes, hello, good morning. My name's Terry. I'm phoning from Calpay.
Good morning, Terry.
I have phoned in many times requesting that we have John Harper, but in fairness to John, he does always give evidence of what he says, because he's mentioned things, and I've looked them up, and he has been correct in what he says. So he doesn't just dream it up himself.
Mm-hmm. I'm not debating that John dreams him up, although he does have, you know, his imagination is quite good too. The other thing is, though, yes, you will find, we're just discussing this off air, one of the wonders of the internet is if you believe that the world is run by a cannibal of 12-foot subterranean hamsters called Nigel, you will find that on the internet.
Absolutely right, but he doesn't go quite as extreme as that. A lot of things he said actually has come to pass, so I don't think we can dismiss him. And also, I think it balances things out. We give Alf, who's got some great knowledge, I wouldn't vote for Labour if you paid me, but nevertheless, his views are really substantiated,
yeah.
And it's interesting. And I think John gives us that balance as well.
Absolutely. Terry, thank you very much for your call in there. Good to have you with us one more time indeed.
Bye-bye.
Take care. 952 78 4000. And it's to stop looking for 12-foot hamsters called Nigel Subterranean. Right. If you're looking, that was Tim Stafford. If you let's go to the WhatsApps, why don't we? Looking at, where are we here? Right. So, excuse me. Varicella, chickenpox, etc. may be targeted at certain age groups. As Tim was saying, in Europe, widespread vaccination ceased in the 1970s. And currently, those catching monkeypox are under 40. This isn't COVID-19. It's totally manageable with targeted demographics, isolation, and existing treatments. Yesterday, the UN said that anybody at high risk of having caught monkeypox should isolate for 21 days. Health officials will announce the latest number of UK monkeypox infections with 20 cases so far. The United Nations AIDS Agency has reported that a significant portion of cases have been identified amongst gay, bisexual and other men who have sex with men, but urged... Yeah, I'm still trying to work that one out as well. Gay, bisexual and other men who have sex with men. But urge media, governments and communities to respond to the outbreak with rights-based, evidence-based approach that involves stigma. Meanwhile, back to the WhatsApps. Again, +34 645 99 67 95. Looking at some of the other points of view coming in. That was Will Turtle there again. Right, okay. Sorry, something coming later. So, why do all Labour leaders, Miliband, Brown and now Starmer, sound like they have a nasal blockage? Maybe there should be an inquiry into what goes up Labour leaders' noses instead and change the subject. Thank you very much for that. Meanwhile, hard to believe, politician, right, big sigh. Back to British politics again. I'll register my complaint again and switch off. Before I do so, why can't you discuss British driving licence developments, which I did with Myra on Friday? Unusual weather here, the Spanish culture, etc., etc., or just nice stuff related to Spain instead of all this you-know-what. And then 2 minutes later, having switched off, hard to believe politicians lie. Meanwhile, looking at... not only, Giles, do you not see the same stuff that John does, but you don't smoke the same stuff or take the same hallucinogens he does. No, I take different hallucinogens, absolutely. Meanwhile, how dare you? Meanwhile, back on some other WhatsApps. Yeah, everyone, not every, but everyone is not entitled to their own facts. Are those advantages twinned with Brexit opportunities? Have a reasoned debate. You need to have reasoned participants. This is because British driving licences affect a small number of people, whereas British politics don't. 952 78 4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Proficient, and you can WhatsApp me on +34645 996795 if you want to get involved with the show. Yes, Tim.
Yes, regarding, without going into the realm of personalities, I think that there's such a thing as a Kruger effect, where a person might decide that he knows rather more about a particular subject than he's any right to suggest, but that in the previous years of journalism, in decades past, the sources that one might bring to bear would be fully authenticated, independent, and properly researched before publication. On the internet, for example, one can, as we know, find exactly the viewpoint that one might prefer and bring this forward as fact because it seems to have some sort of authentication. That is the peril of the internet. But, you know, one has to be clear on the... I mean, now we had the suggestion that the World Health Organization is some kind of vehicle for a sort of...
Globalization.
A world government. This is a giant stretch when it's just a health advisory body. And if you look at its little office in Geneva, well, actually building in Geneva, it looks very... innocently sitting there dealing with health issues. I don't see it as a vehicle at all.
But there's probably... You see, that's just the front of it, though. I mean, we don't know how far down it goes.
Oh, I see. Rather like...
Where the 12-foot subterranean hamsters called Nigel are plotting the downfall of mankind.
No, I've looked up Nigel and he doesn't exist.
Well, Mr. Farage would be most upset about that one. Moving swiftly towards 952-78-4000. Apologies. A bit of gentle ribbing there. Meanwhile, looking at this one coming in, Tim didn't get the memo. We are no longer interested in the opinion of experts. Live to the lines again, 952-78-4000. Morning caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? Hang on, it would help if I pressed the right button. Right, try again. You're
okay.
Live.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
John, hi. I'm good. Right.
Right, okay. I'm just listening back in again.
Yeah.
There's two documents that your guest and everybody else should read. One is called The Great Reset by Klaus Schwab, and it's out there and it's available. And the other one is the World Health Organization document suggesting that they actually be given this sovereignty. And if you read it, then you'll find the truth. I'm not looking at weird websites to tell me this is there. I'm looking at their documents. And if anybody bothers to read it, the problem is they're too busy worrying about whether or not a crony prime minister is having a drink and being diverted into monkeypox, the latest fear that we should get everybody locked down again. Read the documents. When I actually did a show on your program, on your station, I always put the evidence up there.
Right.
I do put my sources.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. And I take slight offence at the fact that the easiest solution, if I don't know anything about this, is just to say it's tinfoil hat conspiracy theory. I've spent 25 years studying this.
Right.
And I don't just rely on the internet. I actually read the source documents, and then I actually look at what other people say about it. And what you won't find is that the stuff that I read, the reason you don't see it is because it's not allowed to be put out on any mainstream thing. You look at any search engine, and everything that I look at is not going to be on there.
Right.
You have to go to different sources.
Just
go to the source and read their own documents, and they condemn themselves. Unless you're a globalist, unless you think it's a great idea, in which case, you'll love them.
James Melville comes in with this thing on the very same thing. It's just a lockdown, it's just a mask, it's just a school closures, it's just staying at home, it's just a vaccine passport, it's just a digital ID, it's just a WHO treaty, it's just digital currency, it's just a social credit system, it's just control, John. And as my Welsh grandmother used to say, and there he was, gone. It's not allowed because it's a Pandora's box of... Okay, thanks very much for that. Looking at this coming in, for, make no mistake about it, every politician is aware of the HWO's pandemic treaty, and their silence on it tells you everything that you need to know. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Yeah, the GB News, Mark Steen was on this as well yesterday, saying the people who've ruined your life these past 2 years will be able to monkey with you again and again. So, yes, a lot of people getting involved with this, trying to stop the WHO treaty. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Official. Let's have a look at this. They are... when criticising government minister for getting facts wrong, it's probably better not to get your own facts right. They're proposing to try and prioritise Channel 4, I think it is, not Radio 5. Maybe it was the NWO who cut him off. Yeah, those are some points coming in. 952-78-4000. Take a quick break and then back with more Viewpoint.
Viewpoint.
Oh, it's
Miles Brown.
Oh, excuse me, I just interrupted myself there. There's many would wish it so. Right then, let's get some more bits and pieces going on this morning's Viewpoint. If you want to get involved, touch with today's
show. To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Right then, let's move away from that. Fear not, we're not going full Johnny Depp, Amber Heard, or indeed the Queen using a buggy at Chelsea. Although several of us have had to be taken home in various methods of transport from Chelsea over the years. But the phones go wild again. 952-78-4000. Our morning caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning again. Sharon,
morning,
on the county.
Sharon.
Just want to correct myself. It was a slip of the tongue. I said channel, what did I say?
Radio 4.
I meant channel 4. It's a minor slip of the tongue.
I wasn't incorrect in that sense. But you know what a harsh bear pit the internet can be, Sharon.
It really is horrible, isn't it?
I finished the show and
I don't do social media.
I think social media,
if that was taken away, we'd have a happier place. world. So Nadine Dorries, the so-called secretary, who gets her facts wrong most of the time, it was also revealed, not only did she lie about the 96%, which is quite a lie when you think about it, I hadn't realised they're trying to sell Channel 4 off to an American buyer. I also hadn't realised that somebody's going to correct me here, that Channel 5 already belongs to an American buyer. Why are we selling everything off to America? I thought the point of Brexit was to take back control.
Ah.
And now the United States seems to be taking over a lot of our entities. There was a documentary the other night about how some of our best football teams are being bought up by oligarchs and, again, Americans, not just the Glaziers, but others as well. and how it's detracted from the atmosphere at football matches and all this sort of stuff. So there are other things to keep your eye on apart from
keeping our eye on the ball in football parlance, Sharon, and no doubt, yeah.
Say again.
Keeping our eye on the ball. Paramount owns Channel 5.
Yes, very good. Thank you very much.
That's why I get the big bucks. Sharon, thank you very much as always. 9527 84000. Morning to Dee, by the way, showing me pictures of the Elizabeth line. Today is tree free. Yes, I had a tree blocking my on the way in today. And there's you can get an Elizabeth Oyster card if you wish to flaunt your monarchist credentials. We'll be talking about the monarchy next week as we come to the Platinum Jubilee, of course. Let's look at some other bits and pieces there, crossing the news or crossing our radar this morning. 9527 84000. Let's look at the situation in terms of both working from home and also sort of the cost of living crisis. I mean, the Prime Minister responded to pressure for urgent action on the cost of living crisis by arguing that work is the best route out of poverty. And the Prime Minister is expected to continue to throw the spotlight on the job market. After he told the Welsh Conservative Conference last Friday that he's proud to say we have to go all the way back to 1974, you were just a child, Tim, to find a time when unemployment was as low in the UK as it is today. But many of those struggling to make ends meet are already in jobs with wages failing to keep up with 9% annual inflation. At the same time, the Telegraph says that working from home is the preserve of the middle-aged and wealthy. This is in the Telegraph after the Office for National Statistics found that high earners are more likely to hybrid work. That's the new one. And that hybrid and home working increased by income bracket. The Office for National Statistics found that more than a third of workers earning £40,000 or more were working from home and the office between the 27th of April and the 8th of May 2022. By contrast, just 8% of those earning up to £15,000 and 24% of those earning between £15,000 and £20,000 were working from both home and office. So there seems to be a debate. I'm reminded by the sort of the Norman Tebbit get on your bike and work, which he famously said at a Conservative conference. I think it was 82 or perhaps even earlier than that. The problem being is that, and we had this on Sky News, the Minister for Safeguarding, I have no idea what that is, but the Minister for Safeguarding said that people should perhaps just take on more work to get out of the problem of the cost of living crisis, saying that if you had a job, you should get a second job or even a third job and perhaps work more hours. I'm not going to go back to the whole thing about the government being out of touch or certain sections of the government being out of touch, but it does seem to be a problem that, yes, we may have low employment. But then again, are the jobs that are available the ones that people want to do? I mean, as I said, one of the side benefits of Brexit, apparently, was the fact that a lot of the seasonal workers, the Romanians, the Polish who used to come over and pick vegetables, agricultural farming sectors have been very badly hit indeed. Tim, have you got any thoughts on that one?
Well, I mean, across Europe, go down to, let's say, let me transport you to Marseille or something.
Okay, if you wouldn't mind, thank you.
Yeah, there you might have a number of, especially younger people from the urban community, who cannot find any work at all. And that may well be the case in various parts of the UK. To suggest that across the whole spectrum, people should engineer some kind of job for themselves out of thin air is really rather silly. But if we're going back to 1974 when employment was high, people at that time, with the great unionisation which applied right then, were prepared, as they're going to have to be now, to take on the jobs, as Giles suggested, that only migrant workers seem to be prepared to take. It's tremendously hard work changing beds in a hotel, and you don't very often, if you stay in a lot of hotels, as I have, find somebody who's indigenous doing that job, and such is the way of Europe that will always continue. Yeah.
952 78 4000. Also, Priti Patel has been warned by Red Wall MPs that an expected drastic increase in net immigration undeniably undermines Brexit promises. Writing to the Home Secretary, more than two dozen Conservative Party politicians pointed to figures that show that work visas are up 25% to 239,984. Family visas are up 49% to 280,776. And student visas are up 52% to 432,729. The letter was organised by John Hayes, who chairs the influential Common Sense Group, who had several Red Wall Conservative MPs among its signatures. I mean, this whole thing about, you know, immigration and threatening to send people to Rwanda if they come over illegally, etc. But, you know, leaving the European Union didn't have the effect on immigration from certain sectors of the world. It was only a European thing. So that's perhaps undermined, and perhaps it was, this wasn't the Brexit that they voted for, Tim.
Yes, I mean, the voters who are very much pro-Brexit were tended to be older, and they tended to live in cities and large towns, and they, I suppose, had a perception that coming from the distant past as they did, their culture was being subtracted from them, and that they didn't like the idea of that or the continuing development of it, and voted to leave Europe. What has Europe got to do with what actually was happening to their community? Nobody was very clear on that. Not enough information, a duff vote, never give a referendum. An appalling decision on the wrong grounds. And with the catastrophic effect that it's had. I think, you know, we have to accept the fact that in various parts of our communities, we need people who are trained for it or prepared to do it. And should be allowed almost free rein to do so. Too late, maybe. Who knows?
This makes the assumption, Tim, that older indigenous people, this is coming in the WhatsApps, the older older indigenous Brits had any culture to start with. Thanks very much for that. This in from Ian. The Prime Minister's handling of the Partygate has been bizarre. How could he have been so outraged and certain when challenged when he knew? He could have said a number 10 team worked very close together in a crisis like wartime, or perhaps the rules got blurred and it's on him. He could have said that anyone should be fined, it should be him. The buck stops with the boss, paid a fine, or even signed a check to a COVID charity. Instead, he was outraged. Stroke certainly didn't happen. In terms of reasoning, this is plain weird. I hear it all the time, it doesn't matter stuff, or it's overdone. Some of it from people I respect. But clearly, it clearly matters to a lot, to millions, as it's a question of basic integrity. How the country is run matters. Old-fashioned notice. Old-fashioned notion, I know. This on this on from Viv replies, the hindsight is a wonderful thing. The public are sick of this constant media outrage, which doesn't seem to include Starmer and Rayner in Durham. There are far more serious issues that the country faces. Somebody's come back to the letter to Boris Johnson's father, Stanley, from Eton, which famously said, honestly believes that it is churlish for us not to regard him as an exception, one who should be free of the network of obligation which binds everyone else. This requires foresight and strategy. He has never done that. He maximizes the day, believing changed future events, circumstances will allow him to avoid any bad consequences of today. History shows that this has been the right strategy for him so far. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. One possibility is that he knows things aren't as they've been portrayed, and he's playing the long game. This is in from Martin. Flushing out the leakers and enemies within, then moving on to Starmer and associated MPs, LAB MPs, and fellow travellers whose conduct must now be scrutinised. 952-78-4000, the phone number, studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe. Official... and this in from Roger. I think his default mode when challenged on anything is to look outraged and act innocent. I imagine it's worked often enough in the past. that he doesn't feel the need to be more strategic, too much like hard work for one thing. Morning, Cooley, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hiya, Joel's ringing back in.
Yeah, good afternoon. Good morning. Good afternoon, yeah, we are. No, we're morning.
Good afternoon.
Still morning.
Good morning. Yeah. Good afternoon. Do you know which country you're in?
I got up very early this morning, wondering what was going to be lying in the path this morning. If it wasn't a downed fir tree, it could have been a meteorite.
And so that's what all you tree huggers do, isn't it?
All us tree huggers. I don't hug trees. I finish this and I go off and punch a bag of kittens. Anyway, next question.
Listen, yes, conservative Al. With a small C.
That's the one, yes. You never forget that, will you? Go on.
And it was a comment that was made earlier, I forget, but it might have been Tim, but still, Brexit is driving everything. People are still talking about it, still see no forward movement, that Britain is desperate for this. All the stuff about immigration, we've got to have the immigrants in, otherwise we've got nobody to pick the crops, etc., etc. And yeah, Brexit is a big issue, but because of all these other things that are going on, very little time is being paid to how are we progressing with anything to do on Brexit. And just a couple of minor comments. Tim was mentioning, and which I always find fascinating, about the time, he said probably timed, the rail strikes in Scotland. These are trade unions who are driven by the law. It's the Industrial Relations Act. There's no way that those unions will be able to pick and choose what they do. They're driven by the law. You have a ballot. You've got so many days to enact it. You can give a programme of dates. Yes, it's designed for reasons, but and I'm not sure about their specific, but I know of two things. One is about pay, but two, they've waited 2 years for the company to get together to talk about and discuss and deal with a bullying issue in the rail network. And if you don't understand bullying at work, well, you know, seriously, it's seriously, that's how people lose their jobs, because they're bullied out of them. So this, what's happening with the Scottish Rail stuff is a serious issue, and it needs two people to sit down and talk about it. You know, negotiations are about finding a way through, not about finding the differences. You know the differences, that's why they've got it. And I was, unfortunately, I lived through an experience. I took 110,000 BT engineers out on strike. Not me on my own, but me and my colleagues. 110,000 BT engineers out on strike over a pay deal that we thought was precise. This was after the miners, and we were called the electronic miners. We were the next industry that Thatcher had her claws in. And I can absolutely assure you, 6 weeks on strike, never again. I've spent years as a full-time official, as an elected official, and never, ever again. I've been involved with major companies where their workforce want to go on strike. And I've always talked the workforce out of going on strike, because if you can't sit like adults around a table and deal with an issue like adults, and what it takes, and this is where it breaks down, it takes somebody from the government. They don't have to be involved. They don't have to do, you know, there are organisations that can deal with bringing parties together, but you need somebody from the government banging heads together to say, sit down and talk this through properly and try to reach a reasonable solution. And we want to know, as a government, because it will be raised in Parliament, we want to know what reason there is for not arriving at an agreement. But please never believe that the unions have much of a say in any of this. And my very, very last point, I spent 8 years as a Labour organiser, 40 years as a volunteer organiser, and Terry's quite right. I have never, and you can justify it, Giles, I have never told anybody on the radio to vote Labour. What I have said and what I consistently say is vote. Make sure you use your vote, because that's what changes the issues of the day. So on Terry's behalf, I really don't care that you don't vote Labour. There should be enough other people to vote Labour without you, but please vote. And I get the impression that we have got a vote, and I have got the paperwork on the way to justify and explain what the new laws are going to be about extending the 15 years to a lifetime vote and many of the other issues that go with it that I think Sharon asked me about a while ago about disabled people voting, about having to have identification, etc., etc., and the way that the government are going to attempt, and this is one for John Harper, how they're going to attempt to manipulate your civil rights in elections, free elections supposedly in the UK, and free elections in Spain, but believe you me, what happens in one part of Europe spreads across Europe, and once they start saying you must have this, that and the other, fewer and fewer people will vote. But please, everybody, I don't care which way you vote, but go and vote. Make sure you make a change to the things that you don't like. Thank you again, Giles.
Thank you very much for the call in there, Ralph. 952-78-4000. A quick break and then back with more into the last, we'll be into the last 20 minutes of today's Viewpoint.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
Right then, last 20 minutes. Morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Giles, it's Peter.
Hello, Peter.
Hello. I was just wondering if that's the only else you've got to call in, because the one that said he never tells anyone to vote is also the one that last week said that he had to go to his own parents to vote a Liberal Democrat. So I don't know where he gets that from, unless it's two different else. But for someone to have a go at their own parents for voting who they wish to vote for, I don't get that. And then come on here and say that he's never told anyone that who they should or shouldn't vote for. It smacks of hypocrisy. So the trouble is, Giles, your show is taking a turn over the last short period of time. I once defended you for allowing free speech, but constantly now people are getting shut down. And I don't know if you've noticed, but there's certain individuals that don't ring in anymore.
Right.
Sean used to ring in with a very good opinion. A guy called Tim, not the one who's on there now, rang in during COVID, hasn't rung again. Gil hasn't rung in since Alf shouted over him. So you are losing one side, because they're being shut down all the time. And the mocking, as someone pointed out, the moment someone comes up with a decent argument, it's... that's my goosey.
I thought for a moment, I thought you'd gone off air then. I was like, oh no, Peter. I was like, that would be the worst. That would be the worst timing ever.
Well, if he decides to climb on the female right now, you'll hear a lot.
Oh, fair enough.
But no, you are losing direction, Giles, in my humble opinion. And, you know, you shut me down a week or so ago because you said that, because you didn't like the fact that I spoke about John Sweeney. Then Felix followed me behind and you shut him down because you said, I'm not even going there. You didn't like John Harper talking about Russia today, that they were the dominant force in the war. So you're shutting people down all the time and you're not allowing them opinion. And it's happening to one side,
okay,
and not the other side. And we constantly, as people have pointed out, whenever we're talking about UK politics, we only ever get Alf's side of it. Everyone else gets shut down really quick. So you've lost track, I think.
Right.
COVID, it started with COVID, with Brexit, sorry, with COVID, and now with the Russian war, we're getting one side all the time. And these people say, oh, silver for the hats, go on there. They never argue against it. No one's ever came on and argued that I'm wrong.
Yep.
And on numerous occasions, this station, not you, but Stephen Ritson, has told me that I should not be coming on this radio giving out the information I give out yet. Those things that he tried to stop me on,
yeah,
ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, okay, the super immunity, all these things are fact now. So I think you're losing credibility, Giles. That's my opinion, and I'll be very picky and choosy
fine
if I ring in the future.
All right, well, so, listen, just let me put my cards on the table then, Peter, because you put your cards on the table, so I should,
yep,
put mine on the table, because,
sure,
hey, it's Viewpoint. Now, and I'm not, excuse me, my voice then breaks. The thing with Russia, and I will be completely transparent with you this, and anybody else who's listening, the reason that I do not believe that Russia is fighting globalists, I believe that Russia has invaded in Ukraine, and the reason that I have and I will declare this bias with it, because one of my good friends was killed in Ukraine, as you know, Pierre, okay? Cameraman, Fox News, yeah? And his fixer. So I have a personal thing with that, okay? The same with John Sweeney. Now, I'm not saying I'm in the right, Peter. Absolutely not, yeah? And you're on the radio at the moment, okay? But from my point of view, and if you do ring in, anybody else rings in, you must understand that I have lost a very good friend over there, okay? Somebody I've known for over 30 to use.
Giles,
yes, Peter.
Giles, that works both ways.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of young Russian soldiers and young Ukrainians are dying all the time.
Sure.
And when the BBC cover it saying that these people should be going out and they're making Molotov cocktails to throw at young conscripted soldiers. Now, I mentioned last week Jacques Bode, right? The former NATO advisor. I guarantee no one's read that report. No one. And yet he's the most qualified man in the world, and it'll tell you exactly what's going on in Russia and what he set out to do and what he's doing. And although, John, the way he said it, maybe people are mocking him for that, but what Jack Bode said that Russia was setting out to do, he's literally achieved. He's doing it. And like John said, why has the ruble gone through the roof? Because quite simply, everybody's circumnavigating. They're buying rubles to buy the gas and the oil and telling us they're not, which they are. That's why they need rubles to buy gas, and that's why the ruble's gone through the roof, because we're not being told the truth. Read Eva Bartlett, one of the most decorated journalists, war journalists there is. Couldn't get enough of her prior to Russia, but now she's writing the Russia-Ukraine, that she's another one that's getting cancelled. If everybody's getting cancelled all the time, you can only say certain things. Nobody ever bothers to look. And when they say, oh, it's on the internet, there's plenty of people on the internet, and I've mentioned this before, people shoot the messenger. Just because you go on the internet and see something, one of the best people I see at Brexit is Russell Brand. Now, everyone laughs and mocks Russell Brand, but what Russell Brand is doing is getting the information and then breaking it down. But people shoot the messenger all the time.
Right.
All the time. And we're not being told the truth in this world. And we've got to a point now where people, many, many people understand this, and there is this massive split, this divide, and you can see it going on with Elon Musk and Twitter at the moment. Now, Sharon mentioned a couple of weeks ago, no man should have that sort of power, yet all the media are owned by hedge fund companies and CEOs and the same CEOs who run the WHO and that, yet one man has managed to upset them completely because he wants to open up and allow people a voice. So maybe the world is turning. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But at the moment, we are so divided. But the thing about free speech, and I'll end it on this one, Giles, because I've taken too much time. The thing about free speech is not the ability to say what you want. It's listening to things that you're uncomfortable with and then making a decision. You must listen to things that are uncomfortable to be able to get a decision on something, to make your own mind up. That's what free speech is. Not just being able to shut someone down saying, oh, you must wear a tin hat, because that is just the weakest argument I've ever heard on this radio by presenters and people, because they never ever defend their corner. It's just, oh, well, you must be stupid, you go on the internet. So on that, Giles, I'll be picky and choosy when I ring in, unless this show goes back to a more balanced show. So I'll leave you on that one.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you for your call in there. 952 78 4000. Morning caller, you're live on Terry. Thank you for holding. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your name? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Gustablanca.
Morning, Kate.
I want to record the strongest possible disagreement with last caller, who has accused you of distorting the show, whatever. I think, and you quite frequently spared listeners long monologues from a fair proportion of people who don't know what a full stop is. Anyway, there will be many more people who agree with me, but I wanted to make sure.
Thank you very much for calling. There, just one more caller here. 952 78 4000. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Giles. Are you all right?
Yeah, very well, thank you, Jason.
So we know what's wrong with Mr. Putin. He's got himself embroiled in his own Vietnam, which is neither sustainable financially or, well, it's not practical. But I want to know what's wrong with the rest of the world. We seem to have an expansionistic policy in NATO, in Europe. America is in danger of becoming insignificant in regard to dollar. It's almost like America's posturing also. And proxy warfare seems to be all the rage now. So everything being equal, if China decide to support Russia, is that okay then? Or is it okay for one and not the other? Do you see where I'm going with this? Because when there was problems in the Afghanistan and Iraq, America also bombed convoys and hospitals by accident. And quite rightly, the West said this is collateral damage of warfare. But when Mr. Putin does it, it's genocide. You see where I'm coming from? We know the man is not correct, but there is also a level of, what's the word, complicity in the way the rest of the world is behaving. If we'd have tried harder to win the peace instead of the war, we might have been in a better position. So nobody has a moral high ground here. No one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just processing after what Peter said and made his points. And thank you for the call in, Peter, again. With the whole thing with Putin and you know the invasion of Ukraine, and I know you're going to some people are going to come back and say, oh well, it was the same as the US crisis, and you wouldn't want missiles on your front garden kind of thing. But yeah, I can see where you're coming from, Jason, with this, and are we too quick to come down? But then again, at the same time, you know, Ukraine is a European, and now here's the crux. Ukraine is a European country, and perhaps we react when it's on our own doorstep more so than we do when it's in Iraq, when it's in Iran, when it's in Syria.
Yeah, but the problem is, Giles, the thing is just spiraling out of control. The stakes are getting higher and higher. The weaponry that's been lent now is more and more sophisticated. And we've got ourselves in a really bad situation as well. I mean, remember, there's a pact between Russia and China, a mutual pact, just like what we have in NATO between them over Taiwan. The problem is the world's becoming a really dangerous place, and everybody's playing this game sat safely from behind. I'm not talking about the soldiers on the ground. I'm talking about everybody else. That's either an armchair spectator watching the media or the bleeding politicians that sit from a safe distance and then go back and drink the coffee. Right? So yeah. The problem is, it's nonsense. There is a sense of hypocrisy here because the Russian people are suffering. It's not Mr. Putin. What have they done wrong to you and I and everybody else? A lot of them really ashamed of what's happening. So that tells me that the problem here is humanity is broken. It's not just Russia. This spreads out. It holds a mirror up to the world of how we're all conducting ourselves. Nobody is innocent in this situation.
Okay.
Not you or I or the West or Russia or just Ukraine.
Okay? Jason, thanks very much for your call in. 952-78-4000.
Yes, I'll revert to Peter's contribution there as well, and keep calling in, Peter, because obviously you have a view to express, and it's usually or almost invariably a good one. And this is all relative. We have an open forum, in this case on Giles's programme, to express whatever view we wish. And whether there's some sort of implied criticism that people get cut off, that people do have a tendency to ramble, including myself. As far as Putin goes, I don't agree, as Jason suggested, that this is growing, an ever-growing issue. I think at this stage they've reached something of a period of inertia where the South of the Ukraine will be controlled by the Russians, and they will be attacked piece by piece. Kiev is under no danger whatsoever. The repercussions are that the ruble, yes, has gone high because the Germans are paying for their gas with rubles and have been forced to do so. Nothing is clear about the Russian economy being in any way improved. Other issues, as far as Putin is concerned, is a no-win situation, and there will not be a taking away of his power for some considerable time to come, because just like everybody else, it seems, his bureau and others around him suffer from just as much cognitive intolerance and misunderstanding as we do, being subject to our media.
Let's go to some of the WhatsApps. This coming in, I believe it's somebody agreeing. I agree 100% with the present caller. That is, I'm not sure when you sent that one in. The ruble has gone through. Ah, sweet, the Alf and Pete Lovin still exists. The ruble has gone through the roof, somebody says, because it's an artificial market. Most economists estimate it's overvalued by tenfold if it were a free market. Repeater, you've got it about right, Giles. Often you let people have their say when many of us would have shut them down. Thank you, John. We've passed peak humanity long time ago. The ruble has not gone through the roof. Russell Brand is a narcissist. The Guardian isn't. Uncomfortable lies, more balanced, i.e. John Harper hosting. Also, Giles, you should not allow opinions that are fundamentally wrong and disseminate misinformation. Keep doing what you're doing. Thank you. Okay, that's just an attack on Stephen, so I won't be reading that one. Okay, you, in caps, Giles, are part of the council culture. So I said I'm offended. Oh, yeah, I don't think so. It's called democracy, babes. You facilitate people telling lies and don't allow a reply or even pull people up on their comments. Thank you for that. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Into the last 4 minutes. This, I am on record. This is from Alf, who is saying, I'm on record somewhere on the show, which says, I never said that I had a go at my parents for voting Lib Dem, but I'm entitled to my opinion about why my parents did what they did, having brought me up with a set of values about Labour. That is not being two-faced or any other word that is used. Viewpoint is about opinions and all should be listened to, but not necessarily agreed with. Is this back to the love fest from Alf? And that's why I had the reply. Ah, yes, the Alf and Peter love fest continues into the last 4 minutes of today's love fest. These are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
952-78-4000. You're live on TRE, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, morning, Giles. It's Sharon again. I'm confused about what we can say and what we can't say. I was told we can't get personal, and yet Peter got personal and nothing was said. I know this is a he said, she said. I what are we allowed to say and not say? And he was talking personally about me and Stephen Ritson and a couple of other people, and nothing was said. Somebody else made personal comments, nothing was said. And can I just stick up for Stephen Ritson? He does do his research, and he does come up with facts, and he plays audios back to you that right. prove points. If he gets something wrong, he'll joke about it, but say he was wrong. And I think we're very lucky to have him, and I want to thank him for one day last week where he was the only person I could who could summarise what the EU now has at its disposal to counter the ridiculous behaviour of the British government. He laid it out in black and white as to what was legally open to the EU to do as a taking action against the Irish protocol. So it isn't clear what we're allowed to do and not to. I'm okay. not getting at you, because I do think it's running this programme must be one of the hardest jobs in radio, and I do think you do it very well on the whole.
Oh,
and
Sharon,
I would like clarification.
Yeah,
really.
Okay, fine.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for the call in there, Sharon. So I was letting Peter get his points across, because obviously, you know, he wanted to put those particular points across, and I didn't want to be seen as being one-sided, but I'm, you know, hey, we're getting both sides are now having a crack. So it was Peter I agreed with. Somebody said he agreed 100% with the present caller. You should allow all opinions or weekly shut down the wafflers. So that would be about a 5 minute viewpoint, I think. And meantime, viewpoint is not about people's opinions, agenda, etc. All the time, balance, please, not ego.
Okay, 952-78-4000. Right then, any final points? Because we're into the last 2 minutes, Tim. Doesn't time fly when you're having fun? What did you take from today's viewpoint, Tim?
Well, I take...
apart from obviously a warm and loving feeling towards humanity.
I do, yeah, it's a warm and loving feeling. I take the view that we are in a fortunate position in the democratised Western world to be able to speak our mind on almost every subject, except if it is seen as provocative or... raising the likelihood of unrest, and here we are talking and speaking our mind. Go to China and or for that Putin's Russia and speak one's mind. I wonder what will happen to that diplomat who's recently spoken his mind about it, Putin's actions. Will he be welcomed back into Russia? I rather doubt it. So, consider ourselves fortunate, I'd say.
Consider yourself one of the family, indeed, Tim. Good to have you. To quote the greats, to quote the great Lionel Blart and Oliver. 952-78-4000. Right then, this final. Thank you for those points, Tim. Here we go. Damn, I have to agree with Sharon that you do a good job. Sorry about that. Well, I really do. I'm actually quite fond of her. There you go. And yes, thank you very much for that. Thanks for all the comments and in today it's been a live and lively viewpoint, and that's what makes the show so special. I will be back tomorrow with Let's Talk after obviously I've descended into the underworld and talked to my 12-foot hamster, ginger hamster handlers called Nigel. I'll be back tomorrow with Let's Talk. Brace yourself because Stephen Ritson is up next with Europe Today.
Expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.